Today is the 29th of May, 69, and that means tomorrow is Memorial Day. So I wish you a very, very happy Memorial Day. And I have to concentrate this time in making this tape because the last time I thought of a dozen things after I had made the tape that I forgot to tell you. But you know, like so many times I forget to write things down, and then I just have a few minutes or something to rattle a tape off, and I get on something that happened that day, and I forget to mention all the other things that have happened. The one thing I was going to tell you that perhaps isn't really that important, but it was to me, I had my hair cut. You know, it needed to be cut before I left home. Remember, I was debating about going to a beauty parlor. And then, of course, I'd been over here a couple of months, and I couldn't find a place over here to get my hair cut. There certainly is nothing on this compound. But a couple of weeks ago, somebody told me about a beauty shop. It's not a beauty parlor, Duchess. It's a real small room, and I have a couple of people in there who cut hair and whatnot. Anyway, it's at Long Bend. The reason they have it over there is they have a number of nurses, and I think there are some Red Cross females. So they have enough women to warrant having a few hair dryers and what have you. Anyhow, I went there, I guess about 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and I got my hair cut, and I was so pleased. It made such a difference. It's the back end, you know, where it becomes like a bun almost, and you don't know quite what to do with it. So I had it cut somewhat shaped to the nap of the neck. I don't think it's a perfect job, but I felt 10 pounds lighter and so much more comfortable. And that was one of the big things I was going to tell you on the last tape, and I completely forgot. Oh, what else? Let's see. I had a tape 2 days ago from Carolyn Hogshead and Cree Windis from Korea, and they recorded it at a very low volume. I can hear it, but just barely. And it was a most interesting tape because, from what I gathered, both Cree and Carolyn are going home. In fact, they're gone now. I think they said they were leaving on the 28th. And they're going to stop in the Honolulu to visit with Yuna for, I think, 5 or 6 days, something like that. And then Cree is going to Texas to visit with a friend. And Carolyn is going to Arizona or someplace, I don't know. They're going to make a few stops before they even get to the East Coast, because Cree comes from Jackson Heights, you know, and Carolyn comes from Virginia. So eventually they plan to get together on the East Coast. As a matter of fact, Cree said that I probably won't be able to reach her until June the 14th, when she plans to be home at her mother's house. And shortly after that, I think sometime in June or July, she's going to the library conference at Atlantic City. So I wanted to write and tell her, or make a tape and tell her to be sure and stop and see you. She said she will call you, Duchess, she or Carolyn. So please try to remember, Cree Windis or Carolyn Hogshead. They said they'll call you when they get to the East Coast. And Cree said if she had a chance, she would stop and say hello. And I was going to get a quick letter off to Yuna, but Yuna isn't at the address that I have. She has moved into a home in Hawaii, and I don't have that address. So, you know, these people move around so much, and they're all over the world. It's kind of hard. But I would like to keep in touch with Cree and Carolyn. I'm a little confused. I don't know if Carolyn is coming back or not. Cree is not. She's planning on going to school and maybe... in fact, she may even be going to school at, I think she said Princeton. No, Rutgers, I think it is, Rutgers. Simply because she wanted to get in on summer classes, and she wouldn't be in time for some classes in schools that she thought she might go to. I think Cree has some credits from Columbia. She does not have her master's at this point, and I think she would like to finish up for her master's in the library science. So she said she looked into Rutgers, and she would have something like 3 or 4 days from the time she got back to get enrolled in school. And I don't know whether she'll be able to make it or not. But anyhow, I did want to, I can't tape them because they've shipped away their whole baggage. And as I say, they're out of Korea by now. And they'll be traveling for a few weeks before they get home. But I couldn't quite gather whether Karen had decided to stay in the States or was considering going back to Korea, particularly if she got Ruth's job. You know, see, Karen was in line for Ruth Matson's job, but it has to be approved through Washington at the GS-11 level, and this could take months. And it wasn't clear to me what Karen was doing, but anyhow, it'll be a different 2nd Infantry Division when those two leave, because they have been there for a number of years. And particularly with Ruth gone, there is no experience in the Special Services branches. Not the library, the crafts, or service club. Not really. I mean, most of the girls there now are all new. So I guess I was pretty lucky to get in and be trained with some of the people who knew what they were doing. I certainly treasure that training here in Vietnam, because without it I would be fumbling, and I don't like to fumble more than I have to. Let's see, what else? I could go on for hours and hours about the job. I did receive your letters. Oh, yeah. Duchess, I mailed the renewal for the driver's license. I didn't see why I should mail it back to you so you could mail it to Trenton. I just put it in the return envelope they had sent, and I put my return address as 2 Catalina Court. And I mailed it airmail. I got a money order for $11. I signed it, and I mailed it. So this way, you won't have to worry about it at all. It's gone. And when they mail back the new license, they'll mail it to you. So you can forward that to me when you get it. And I'm so glad that it came through, because I was worried that perhaps they didn't have the right address or something, you know. So this way, I'll have it for another 3 years, and that's great. So that's finished. And what else? I had a couple of letters from you, all of which I enjoy very much. And I'm anxious to get all the details about your European trip. getting back to my job and everything, this compound is really unique for so many reasons, Duchess. And unless you understand the military structure, it's hard to follow. But first of all, you know, we have the ties here. We have 70% ties and 30%. Actually, it's 31% Americans and 69% ties. That's a large percentage. So that's one thing. And then, two, we don't have any division support. We have a lot of tenant unit. They call it tenant units. In other words, it's a conglomeration of various battalions. And most of them are connected with flying. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of choppers on this compound. But because of this, there's very little organization, there's very little chain of command, so to speak. But to make a long story short, I have stirred a lot of dust for a number of reasons, but two primary reasons. And one was I had practically demanded bunkers, well, a bunker be built at my service club. See, we don't have a bunker there, and we should have one. Well, everybody agrees that we should have a bunker, see, but nobody could agree on who was supposed to build it. And I said, give me the materials, and I'll build it myself. I have, you know, a staff, 3 GIs anyway, and a lot of Vietnamese laborers, and I'll build it. Well, that was one thing, and they kicked this around for weeks. And another thing, I wanted a compound. See, we have a post-installation coordinator here, and this consists of our leading military man, as far as the Americans are concerned, who is a full colonel. But, of course, he does not outrank the Thai general. Anyway, he's new. His name is Colonel I think it's Jack Mittelstadt, and he has only been on compound about 2 weeks. And he has a couple of majors, and he has a small command under him, but no company of any, no unit size group. So consequently, his power is limited, and his support is limited. Anyway, I had asked for a directive in writing from the post to guide me as to what they would like me to do during different alert statuses. We have a yellow alert and a red alert and a white alert and all this stuff. Well, this is SOP. I mean, this is something that's standard, and I should have it. And I don't think it's any big deal to get it. Well, these two issues really caused a lot of commotions. And I have spent most of the week discussing things and writing drafts and letters and reports and all this good stuff with the majors and the colonels of these different commands. Well, it got to the point, Duchess, that I thought they were either going to do one of two things, either put a padlock on the door of the service club, which I strongly recommended if nobody was going to support the club. I have a mission to do, you know, and I know it's not operational or tactical, but I can't function without some support, and either I get the support or we should close up shop and go elsewhere, particularly when we're not serving that many GIs here, you know. Okay, that was one alternative. And the other one was simply to get some clear-cut lines on who was to do what and who was responsible for many things, supply, transportation, maintenance, whatever, you know, construction, the whole bit. So they had a big meeting on it, and it got kicked around. Well, they decided that the post would give me more support and work a little bit closer and would assist in some of the, what I think are, basic primary objectives. So I feel that was a major victory, although I sincerely thought there was a good chance that they may have kicked us out of this compound because of a lot of commotion. But as I pointed out, turnover.